This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled More Than Enough. More Than Enough. It's okay, so just minus a minute, all right? Just minus a minute in the back. Y'all look at me. Don't look back there. If you look at me, everything will be all right? So we are in a series entitled More Than Enough. It is God's will that you have more than enough. And let me just stop right there. You have to know that that is God's will. We can't go any further until you know that it is God's will for you to prosper and God's will for you to have more than enough. Once you have faith and understand that, right, then to the degree that I work this word, that I apply his word on giving, on stewardship, put my faith on it, I will see and you will see increase in our lives. I started last week talking about financial health. And I told you that I believe that God wants us to live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. That's something that we just have always talked about throughout the ministry. Everybody repeat after me, no stress, no stress, no strain, no struggle. So the key is learning to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God results, right? And so it's God's desire that all of his children prosper, all right? But we have to, watch this, but we have to play our part if we're going to prosper. We've got to do it God's way. 3 John 2, very familiar passage of scripture. It says, beloved, that's you, I wish above not some things, but all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So it's God's will for you to prosper in every area of your life. You should prosper in your marriage. You should prosper in your finances. You should prosper in your health. You are supposed to prosper in every area of your life. You got it? It is a total package of nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. That is the will of God for your life. You got it? And that is why when Pastor gets up here, you got it, I don't fuss. You got it? I teach you the word of God. Why would I fuss? Because the gospel is not bad news, but the gospel is good news, right? That Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, has come to remove all of your burdens and destroy all of your yokes by the power of God. To the degree that we take this word by faith, and faith is the key, and stand on it, we'll see God do amazing things in our lives. Now, I'm really talking about money. That's the bottom line. And I'm talking about stewardship. I'm really talking about money management. And I get it. Some people don't really like to talk about money management. And sometimes for some people, that's just always been something that's real been really hard for them, you know, to really manage money. And I'm praying that as I teach you, the Holy Spirit is going to help you. Some people, money management is not a problem. I just don't want anybody telling me what to do with my money. I get it. You understand? But the bottom line is, Pastor's not telling you what to do. I'm just sharing with you from Scripture what God says we are to do and how we are to handle our money. Does that make sense? Proper stewardship leads to you prospering, and it's okay for you to prosper. The word prosper, the word prosperity, the word rich are not bad words. The word rich just means abundantly supplied, and it's the will of God for you to be abundantly supplied in every area of your life. Last week, I told you that there were two components. There's the giving component, and then there's the managing component, and if you do both properly, it will lead to increase in our lives, and only you know if you're doing it properly or not. Isn't that right? Like, I don't know. You know, I tithe. I pray you do. But only you really know if you are tithing on all the increase that comes your way. I tithe off of everything. Birthday money. Somebody cash at me $20. I don't care what it is. I'm always going to give back to God. You got it? Because I always look at it. If I'm going down the road, right, and my cash app goes off for $100, right, 30 seconds ago, I didn't have $100. So now I have $100. What's the tithe on $100? $10. You have to give tithe and, or what did we learn? Some fat, right? So let's just, you know, my thing is, Lady and I do 15%. That's just us. You don't have to do 15%. 10% is tithe. You have to figure out your offering. That's just what we do. It works for us. Our faith is on it. We believe that God increases us in amazing ways because we do that, right? And so now off of $100, what's 15%? $15. Okay, yeah. Y'all all right? Check on your neighbor. Matter of fact, let's just wave to everybody down the row. Make sure everybody's good. You got it. Check on and nudge them. Make sure nobody sleeps. Some people sleep with their eyes wide open. Because I was like, what's 15% on $100? Y'all like, All right. And so why would I have a problem giving the $15? Because I'm going to have what left? Okay, all right, there you go, class. When 30 seconds ago I had zero. Does that make sense? So you have to make sure you see it that way, because if you don't see it that way, you have to say, wait a minute, God just prospered me. And so now I'm going to return to God what already belongs to him, the tithe, and I'm going to add an offering. Does that make sense? And watch this. What you have to realize is, because I took the 100 and gave the tenth part or the tithe and an offering, I get to enjoy the 85. The $85 is blessed, but I just sowed another seed so I could keep having increase coming to my life. Does that make sense? You have to understand that's God's plan to prosper. It's not a game. You got it? All right. When we talked about stewardship, we said a steward is a person who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others. And so we said point number one from last week was the only point I gave you. I had 3 points. I didn't get to them. So point number one, we said everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Remember Pastor Eben taught us, because in the Malachi, he says, return to me, right? That when we give the tithe, it already belongs to God. So we're really just returning to God what belongs to him. You have to understand that you have been given enough right now to demonstrate to God you can be trusted with more. If I'm unwilling to pay tithes off of the $100 or the $500, you got it, I'm probably not going to pay tithes off $500,000. Does that make sense? You got it. The Psalms 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell within. So everything belongs to God. So you're just managing what God has given you, all right? So let's jump into some new information. That was point number one, everything belongs to God. Everybody say point number two. Point number two, faithfulness is key. Faithfulness is key. All right, let's talk about this from a couple of different areas. 1 Corinthians 4:2 teaches us, moreover, it is required. What word did I just say? Required. What does that word mean? Required, right? It is required in stewards. So you don't get an option in this, that a man be found, what class? Faithful, all right? So God expects you and I, as it relates to stewardship, to be faithfulness, because faithfulness is the key to seeing the blessings in your life. I can make excuse after excuse after excuse after I'm going to give when, and I can't give right now. I've heard people say, I can't afford to tithe, and I very lovingly tell them, you can't afford not to tithe, because tithing breaks the curse. Does that make sense? All right. Proverbs 28:20 says that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You got it? I know Lady LaConte and I are blessed, not because we're so smart. A lot of people say, oh, you smart, or because you're more anointed than everybody. No, that's not the reason. The reason is because we're faithful. I remember when we left to come from Jacksonville and come to start the church. And, of course, we did everything the right way. I actually had talked to my pastor a year and a half before. And, you know, he said, okay. You know, and I kind of waited. I'm not sure of what I was waiting on, to be honest. Maybe I was waiting on him. And then I realized, I got to go do this. If, like, God told me to do this, I got to come and do it, right? And so I remember the first time he had me come back to preach for him after we had started the church. And, the church kind of took off. And it was an honor to go back and preach for him. And he said, there's a lot of things I can say. He said, but let me just introduce him to you as a faithful man. And you've got to understand that faithfulness is the key. You got it? Don't worry about if other people can find you faithful. You need to ask yourself the question, can God find me faithful? Does that make sense? Can God find me faithful? Can God, that's important to me, that as a husband, God finds me faithful. As a father, God finds me faithful. As a pastor, God finds me faithful. As a giver, God finds me faithful, right? So financial, you got to catch this. You got to do what? Financial blessings are activated by our giving. Okay, it's on the screen. Good. Maintained by our faith and increased by our stewardship. All right? So financial blessings are ultimately activated by our giving because when you give, Luke 6:38 says what? It's going to be given unto you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run. So we understand it's activated by our giving. It's maintained by my faith. You got it? And so if it took my faith to get me here, it's going to take my faith to keep me here. Does that make sense? All right. And watch this. So they're activated by our giving, maintained by our faith, and they're increased by our stewardship. So tithing is just the first step in stewardship, but it's not the last. So I could tithe off of that $100, right? And then waste the $85, and it wouldn't be God's fault. And it wouldn't mean that God's not a need supplier. And it wouldn't mean that God's not Jehovah Jireh. It would just mean I wasted that money. Let's say that I needed that money. So God got to me what I needed, right? You know, and I've got $85 left, and I needed to pay a $60 water bill. It's not going to be God's fault if I got excited and went to Outback. And I just spent $59.72. You got it. And so now I spent $60, right? How much did I have left? $85, right? And so y'all was talking about the 100, right? This is not a joke, all right? So if out of that 85 I spent, I need Pastor Pat. Out of that 85, if I spent 60, what I have left? 25. How much was the water bill? 60. So now I don't have enough. But I don't have enough because God wasn't good. I don't have enough because God didn't provide. I don't have enough because God, watch this, is not Jehovah Jireh. He was all of those things, but because, watch this, even though I gave the tithe and offering, I didn't manage it right, and it put me in a bad spot, but it's not God's fault. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. Does that make sense? All right. And listen, and I'm not trying to get you to pinch pennies all your life, because that's not what I'm talking about. You got it. But what you have to understand is you have to learn this principle of stewardship and doing it God's way, because it leads to increase. Learning to be consistent is what causes you to never have to be in between blessings, but rather remain in a constant state of blessings. I believe you should remain in a constant state of blessings. All right. I remember years ago, everybody say years ago. I can't tell you the whole story, but years ago, my pastor, this is when we were just members of my pastor's church. We were having a big conference. We're having a big giving. We had a big budget, and we were giving, you know, kind of like we have our big giving day once a year. And so I think Lady LaConte and I had already given, I can't remember, years ago, $20,000. That's a lot of money, right? And so I had just bought me brand new motorcycle, you know, and bottom line is my brother-in-law, Ed, he wanted a motorcycle like mine. That same night, we were waiting on this guy to bring us a used candy apple red motorcycle, so me and Ed would both go riding around the city in our motorcycles. The guy never came. During the offering, I had already given my money. You got it? And the Lord says, go and tell, because I pay cash for my bike. You got it? And I babe, how much was that bike? A bunch of money, right? It's a lot of money, all right? And so anyways, I asked her, because, you know, I don't want to be lying. You understand what I'm saying? I want to tell you it was 50 and it only cost 40. I'll just say it was a lot of money. And so, bottom line, he says, go tell Ed that if he will. So Ed was waiting on the man and had been to Navy Fed and had a check for, like, I don't know, $16,000 or something like that. And he was like, go tell Ed if he'll give you that $16,000, you'll give him your bike. The one I just paid. I know I paid at least 40 grand for it. You understand? You got it. You know, and you know me being the faithful man that I am, I said, the devil is a lie. You got it? So, but it didn't take me long to know that, you know, that was God. And so I go to the back. I say, Ed, I said, the Lord told me if you give me the $16,000 check, I give you my bike. You know, I've already paid cash for it. So when the title comes in, I give it to you. He's like, huh? I said, Ed, the Lord told me that if you give me the $16,000, he said, what? I said, I'm saying the same thing, Ed. So I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going to tell him one more time. You got it? And if Ed don't get it, I'm going to go back to see, keep my bike, be glad I gave $20,000, and I'm going to go on my way. Right? You know, and before I could tell, he said, okay, yeah, let's do it. I was like, man. No, I'm just like. And so this is true. So everything I'm telling you is true. I'm not embellishing this at all, right? This is true. And so I take the $16,000, and normally I probably would have told my pastor, hey, pastor, I'm going to meet the rest of the budget, that kind of thing. I didn't even do that. I just went and laid it on the altar, you understand? And then I went back to my seat, and I can't tell you what the choir sang. I can't tell you what the preacher preached about. It took Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and Casper, the friendly ghost, just to help me keep focused. Because I'm like, man, I just bought that bike. Bottom line, within, I don't know, 24, 48, 72 hours, you know, something like that, somebody gave me a bike just like the one I gave, right, that I gave up. And watch this, on top of that, I was on my way down, what's the road? Country Club Road in Jacksonville. You got it. This is the testimony, not a testimony. And Gloria, who my tax lady, who lives on Piney Green Road in Jacksonville, she still does taxes, right? Calls me and says, James, I need to talk to you about your tax account. We were making so much money that I was paying taxes every single month. You got it. You know, sometimes you pay taxes once a year. When you start making a lot of money, you need to pay them at least quarterly. They're estimated. Well, we were making so much money, we had to pay them every single month. And so when Gloria called me, she said, James, I need to talk to you about your tax account. I went off on her right away. I was like, Gloria, I have no time to talk about any taxes. Do you know that I gave $20,000 and then on top of that, I gave my bike to somebody? She's like, James. You got it. And she said, I know exactly where I left. I'm telling you this story for a purpose because I was talking about being in between blessings. And she said, James, no. She said, you had, how much was it? You don't remember? I've told the story before. Does anybody remember? It was a lot of money. It was a lot of money, right? It was like, I mean, you know, I mean, we were probably doing at least, I don't know, I think it was like $40,000 or something. It was a lot of money, y'all, right? And she says, no, you put too much money in your account. I said, no, I didn't. I know how to count. You understand what I'm saying? I know how to deal with these monies. I did not put too much. She's like, well, I'm telling you, I've already paid your taxes and you have that much money. And I said, I can get the money out. She said, you can get the money. I said, Gloria, I'm telling you right now, if I get this money out, I'm not giving it back to nobody. Tax man can't come get it. Can't nobody come get it, right? She's like, no. And, you know, and I'm telling you, it was supernatural. I can't explain it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. All I know is it was supernatural, right? But listen, it was because I sacrificed in that moment, and that sacrifice set in motion the supernatural power of God. That sacrifice got God's attention and caused him to move in my life, right? And I just read to you, let me find, learning to be consistent is what caused you never to have to be in between blessings, but rather remain in a constant state of blessing. And from that day to this day, Lady LaConte and I don't care if it was, but no matter what we've done, we have never been in a place, right, where we've been in a need state. Or if there was need, God immediately met the need because years ago we obeyed God and sacrificed. Does that make sense? So when I, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny because, you know, some people don't like this and I don't mean it the wrong way. I'm just trying to help you. When I came to New Bern, I didn't come trying to get anything from anybody. I already had everything I needed. You got it. I wanted to teach people, you got it. I wanted to teach you the word of God so you could live a better life. And if you'll take this word and apply it in your life, you're going to get results. Think about it. We live in a custom house long before we ever moved to New Bern. I'm driving big body Mercedes long before. And I remember telling God, I'll go to New Bern. Because, see, I thought he was going to send me to Raleigh, Charlotte. You understand what I'm saying? I thought, you know, I'm a pretty good teacher. You understand what I'm saying? You know, certainly, you know. But he said, no, go to New Bern. I said, okay, I'll go. You got it. I could tell the mindset here was low. Right? But I said, I'll go. I'll be your boy, but I'm not going to change what I drive and how I live and what I do. He said, I don't want you to. I want you to set the example. So that way, I don't want you to come down. I want you to bring others up. And from that day to this day, people's mindsets have come up to what God can do in your life. Are you getting anything out of this? Yeah. Amen. All right. And so number one is, number one, what? Let's put it up. What's number one, class? Okay, in the back, number two. What's number two, class? All right, and then number three, what is it? All right, discipline yourself to make change. I got 8 minutes and 42 seconds. This is more than enough time. Let me just help you. I made a statement at the 11 o'clock last week that I didn't make at the 9 o'clock. And what I said, and this is can be a little pushy, but and I don't mean it this way, but if you're not a tither, you need to be. Because when you tithe, you operate under the blessing. When you don't tithe, you operate under a curse. Okay, and the blessing is real and the curse is real. But please understand, curse doesn't mean you're going to die and go to hell. That is not what that means. That is not what that means, all right? It means things don't work for you the way that they should. It means favor doesn't flow. It means you can have $1,000 and 2 days later, it's like there was a hole in your pocket because you're operating under the curse. Does that make sense? All right? And so what happens is I made the comment at the 11 o'clock, you know, when you first start tithing and you never had tithed before, you could experience short-term discomfort. because I never, and it could seem like you're losing. You got it. But what you have to do is set your faith and set your mind to sacrifice. Say, no, I'm going to do it God's way. And if you will, those two words I told you earlier, if you'll hold on and do it God's way, you'll see God results in your life. Does that make sense? All of us have made bad decisions with money. If you ever made a bad decision with money, raise your hand. I'll raise both hands. Every one of us in the room have, right? So that's why it's okay for me to teach this, because this is not targeting anybody. All of us have made bad decisions. But when I know better, I do better, right? That's the whole thing about revelation. When I know better, I do better. So here's the key. Discipline yourself to make the change, right? Personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% knowledge. It's 80% behavior. You got it. It's not being emotional, because what happens is, you know, we have people who are emotional spenders, right? I'm not an emotional spender. You got it. You got it. Lady would tell you I'm not. Now, I'm generous, but I'm not emotional. You got it. When the Bible says pray about everything, I pray about everything. You got it. And so, but watch this now. I'm not now I used to be. I'm not anymore. You got it. I used to be an emotional dessert eater. You got it. I would eat when I was happy. I was eat when I was joyful. I would eat after I preached two services and thought I did a good job. You understand? I'm not sad much, but if I was sad, I would eat then too. You understand what I'm saying? So I get the whole, if the Cowboys won, I'm going to have some carrot cake. You understand what I'm saying? If they lost, I need some cheesecake. You understand? Like, so I get the whole emotional thing. I finally had to discipline myself and say, boy, stop eating all the time. Right? And so I do real good now. Like, I have disciplined myself. I'm not saying I don't eat sweets. Now I control the sweets, and the sweets don't control me. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so now I'm able to do it without it, you know, because, I mean, listen, I was just like, I mean, lady would tell you, like, I could not eat a meal. Like, if we have dinner, what comes after dinner? Dessert. Everybody knows. See? You got the revelation. And lady was like, babe, you don't need dessert every time. I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. You got it. So I get the emotional part. And so for me, it wasn't spending. For me, it was eating. But it's the same principle. So that's why I don't knock you if you're an emotional spender. I understand. So just like I had to discipline myself with the eating, you just got to have to discipline yourself with the spending. Does that make sense? All right. Watch this. Let me give you the five P's. Y'all have heard these before. Proper planning prevents poor performance. You must learn to plan properly with your money. You have to count up the cost. You can't spend everything you get. You can't be impulsive. You can't help everybody that comes to you. Proverbs 21 and 20 says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. One thing I've taught you, and we're going to give it to you in a minute, how you prioritize, but you have to save something every paycheck, even if it's $5. Well, Pastor, $5 isn't going to do anything. Yes, it does. It disciplines your mind that I always need to save something. Right? Because I'm believing it ain't always going to be like this where I can only save $5. I might get to the point where I can save $25, where I can save $50, but I have to start somewhere, all right? Learn to live below your means. Learn to live below your means. Y'all know my word for you has not changed. Does anybody remember what my word for you is? Margin. That is my word for you. What is margin, Pastor? Margin is the distance between your load and your limit. Margin is what you have left after you paid everything, and I want you to have a lot of margin in your life. I want you to have a lot of margin. If you got to rearrange things in your life to have margin, rearrange things. You got it. Don't worry. Well, somebody, they're going to be wondering what's going on because, you know, I don't have that car no more. Were they paying for that car? So I wouldn't worry about it, right? I promise you, if you really want to get your finances under control and you will go to the Lord and pray, you got it, the Holy Spirit will give you a plan. What all you got to do is follow the plan. So it's not that we don't have a plan. It's a lot of times it's hard for us to follow his plan. All right? Y'all still love me? All right, got quiet, all right? Two reasons why people live above their means. Two reasons why people live above their means. Number one, they are not content. Philippians 4 and 11, Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, all right? So here's the big thing. My contentment doesn't rest upon what I have, but my contentment rests upon who God is. I'll say it again. My contentment doesn't rest upon what I have. My contentment rests upon who God is, that he is my sustainer, that he's my redeemer, that he is my joy, that he is my peace. And that's what makes me who I am, and not a car I drive or a house I live in. And I'm not knocking a house. We just celebrated one of our couples who got a house. So you know I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is get everything together the right way so you can start increasing the right way properly, and then God will give you the desires of your heart. Does that make sense? All right. And so I don't tie my value into stuff, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Right? All right. And so number one, we said two reasons why people live above their means. They are not content. And then number two, it's real easy. They don't count. All right. I know that's fine. I figured some of y'all would laugh. No, honestly, most people don't count. What do you mean? They don't budget. Luke 14 and 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down?" Almost, you almost got it. Does not sit down. So before I make a big purchase, I need to talk to God. Yeah, I need to get an agreement with my spouse. Yeah, that's the key. You got it? And count up the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. And one thing I've learned is there's certain people that don't really, like, you have to learn how to count up the cost. Before I do anything, I always count up the cost. I don't say, okay, you know, we sold one house, we're going to buy another house, right? You know, I don't say, well, that house is going to cost me $3,000 a month. No, it's going to cost me more than $3,000 a month. Because I have electric, I've got water, I've got gas. Come on, somebody. I've got the lawn maintenance. Hello, somebody. If there's a pool at the house, I got to pay the people to come every other week. You got it to clean the pool. You understand? So there's a lot. So you have to count it, because if you're not careful, I can afford $3,000. You get into it, it's $4,000, and you realize, man, I can't do it because I didn't count up the cost. And let me help you, and don't be mad at me. But if you cannot afford $4,000 and you can only afford $3,000, don't jump in saying, man, I got faith, God's going to do it. That's not faith. That's either foolishness or presumption, okay? Because that's not faith. Faith is, you know what, I'm not going to buy anything right now because I know what I want and I'm not there yet, so I'm going to keep stacking my money. I'm going to keep working my plan, and then I can get there. Does that make sense? Ooh, y'all are quiet. Have a plan. A budget is a map. What is it? It tells your money where to go. If you don't tell your money where to go, your money's going to go wherever, and then you're not going to know where it went. A budget helps you to make financial decisions without emotions. All right? Proverbs 21 and 5. Good planning and hard work lead to what, class?
Prosperity.
What's that word?
Prosperity.
So you see this in the Word of God. I told you earlier that the proper stewardship leads to you prospering. Prosperity is not a bad word. It's actually a good word. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to prosper, all right? But hasty shortcuts lead to, all right? So you have to understand the difference. Here, when we prioritize, here's what we go. All right, Maestro, let's take us home. Number one, give to God. Number two, pay your creditors. Number three, save some money. Number four, enjoy the rest. I'm going to give them to you one more time. I'm going to tell you a story, then we're going to pray. You ain't got to go home, but you got to go somewhere, all right? What's number one, class? I have to make it up in my mind that the first, the tithe, the tenth, it belongs to God, and I'm returning to God. You got it. I'm showing him that, I'm demonstrating to him that I can put my position, I can manage well, and put myself in a position to increase in my life. All right, what's number two? Why do you pay your creditors? Because you signed the dotted line and said you would. You got it. You know, they call, you know, and you got caller ID, you know, and so, but the baby answered the phone. Hello? Yeah, my mama here. Mama, it's so-and-so. You know, why you answer that phone? Tell them I ain't here. My mama said to tell you she ain't here. Pay your creditors. Save money, even if it's just $5. Work to 10, work to 15. Does that make sense? And then you enjoy the rest. And initially, there might not be a lot of rest to enjoy, but if you keep working that principle, there will be. Because I'm telling you, God breathes on our finances when we do them the right way. Listen, the church is in great shape. Y'all know that. I don't lie to y'all about anything. I'm a very transparent pastor. We're doing good. I'm not teaching on giving and stewardship because we need, you know, to pay some bills. I'm teaching on giving and stewardship because giving is God's plan to prosper your life. That's the bottom line, all right? And so, I said I was going to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you two. There was a family, this true story. It didn't happen to me. I heard a preacher tell the story. I was talking about how a budget helps you to make financial decisions without emotions. And so there was a family, and when they wanted to do something, if they couldn't, they'd say, Mr. Budget said we couldn't. So if the husband wanted a boat, the wife would say, I'm sorry, babe, but Mr. Budget said you can't have a boat. If the wife, you know, wanted $500 for home goods, he would tell her, if they couldn't do it, I'm sorry, babe, but Mr. Budget says you can't have $500 for home goods, right? And then they had a little baby. She was like, you know, 2-3 years old. And, you know, they would start to tell her, Mr. Budget, Mr. Budget. And one day she's like, can we please go to McDonald's so I can get a Happy Meal? And the mama turns around. She says, baby, I'm sorry, but Mr. Budget says that we can't afford it. And it got real quiet. They were driving down the road. And then all of a sudden they heard in the backseat, I hate Mr. Budget. All right, going home, you must have some no matter what's. Some what? No matter what, I don't borrow unnecessary money. I don't know if I didn't give that to you, don't worry about it. Okay, I did, okay. No matter what, I don't borrow unnecessary money, all right? No matter what, I have an emergency fund. If you have to work on putting it together, like I said, $15 a paycheck, $20 a paycheck, right? No matter what, my spouse and I agree on big purchases. I never coerce lady to do something because I want to do it. Lady never coerces me to do it. If one of us go to each other and the other one's not in agreement, you know what we do? We go back to prayer. And it's okay, now, Lord, I kind of wanted to do this, but I'm not going to do it without her agreement. So one or two things happen. You're going to have to touch your heart, or you're going to have to just let me know this is not what I'm supposed to do. It's going to be one or the other. Right? And I'm not going to be mad at her and stop talking to her because she said I couldn't have a new boat. Does that make sense? Come on, y'all act like we don't do that kind of stuff. Right? You got it. Forget a boat. You know, brother, you want a pair of sneakers cost $250. She said, we ain't doing that. See, that's what I'm talking about. I go to work every day. I work hard. I do this. And then here come the devil. You show, dude, who she thinks she's talking to. You got to let her know who she thinks. You know, and then you get all bold. Who you think you're talking to? And she said, well, what? And here come the devil on her side. Can you believe what he just said? That joker don't know who you are. Tell him who you are. You don't know who I am. And then he run back over here. Right? And round and round and round you go. And where you stop, nobody knows, because the enemy wants to bring confusion into your life. And if you'll ever understand, you got it, the reason you get married is not because it's paper. So forget what culture says, right? The reason you get married is because the Bible says there's a grace or favor that comes on your life. You got it? When you do it God's way. And so what happens is there's a favor and a grace on me and ladies' life. If you're married, there's a grace and a favor that's on your life. Watch this, and only you two can mess it up. But if you stay in agreement, if you communicate, if you keep telling each other that you love each other, if you work through the hard problem. Now see, now I done switched from money into marriage. I'm helping somebody's marriage right now. If you quit fussing at them, come on somebody. If you quit being mean to her brother, come on somebody. You understand what I'm saying? And really show the love of Jesus and say, you know what, let's forget all that stuff, but let's take each other's hands and let's pray. And let's ask God to guide our lives and to guide our marriage. And if we ask him to do this, all the other stuff will flow the way we want it to. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying all over the building. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And I believe that he will talk to you. I believe he will help you. I believe he'll give you the instructions that you need. You know, I think he'll give you the wisdom that you need so you can, and maybe you're not in a bad spot. Maybe you're in a pretty good spot, but you have to know better is possible. Better is possible. I want you to know better. I want that to stick in your head. Because you might be, well, Pastor, I'm doing good. Yeah, but better is possible. And to the degree we do it God's way, we'll get God results in our lives. Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice in this room and online. And I thank you that as we commit to do our finances your way, we will see your increase on our lives in ways that we've never seen. Father, I thank you that those that have don't tithe consistency or consistently, or those who have never tithed, Father, as they start, I thank you that they will see what all of us who tithe see, your supernatural power at work in their lives, that you will breathe on their lives. Because tithing is not just about breathing on your finances. He breathes on your life, because giving puts you in covenant with God. So I'm talking about money, but when I give, he does all kinds. He protects me. He rebukes the devourer. There's so many things that he does. And so, Father, I thank you for breathing on their lives. And I thank you that it won't take long. I declare acceleration in their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness at work. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.